Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night you have given us again to gather together in fellowship and to worship you and to learn from your word. Father, I pray that our ears are open, our minds are open, and our hearts are open to accept your word and learn from your word and to take it along with us. Father, we just thank you for all that you have blessed us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we learned a little bit about Joseph, if you remember. And Joseph had a little tough time in his life. He thought he had it good as a young man, and then his brother sold him into slavery, and he lived kind of rough, but he always looked up to God and kept looking and praying for God's direction. And this is where we pick up. Joseph has died, and a new pharaoh is in charge. And the new pharaoh is a little nervous about all the Israelites. When Joseph was in charge in Egypt, he brought his family there in the end. There was about 70 of them. So they were all there, and they lived happy and well and got along well in Egypt. But as God promised Abraham, they prospered. And by the time Joseph died, there were about 1 million Israelites. And of course, that is a lot bigger than 70, if you think about it. Lancaster City, let's see if this is on. Lancaster City is 55,000 roughly. So 18 times that, 18 cities of Lancaster is the amount of Israelites that were in Egypt at the time. That would pose a little issue, I think, to the leader there, saying, you know, what if they uprose and wanted to take over? So his plan was to put them in oppression and make them slaves, and thought that would, you know, keep a little control on them. And again, as the promise is, they prospered and grew as the stars of the sky and the sands of the desert, as God told Abraham. And this did not please the Pharaoh, so he got very angry and irate and made a decree to kill all the baby boys born and throw them in the river in hopes of quenching or quelling this growth of the Israelites. Well, it didn't work. They continued to grow and prosper, and God blessed them. Tonight, we're going to look at three things that God has when he revealed, to reveal himself to the Israelites and to the Pharaoh in Egypt. There are three things that he's going to do. Number one, he's going to reveal his name, he's going to reveal his power, and he's going to reveal his plan. And there's a lot more to this story tonight than there is just Moses and the Israelites in Egypt. And I want you to get that tonight. A lot more exciting at the end of this. To tie it all together here. Moses grew up in Egypt. You know, he was one of the babies, as you heard in the children's story, one of the babies that was saved in a basket and was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. So he had some power and could do what he wanted. He realized he was a Hebrew as well later on in life. But he ended up killing an Egyptian. And for fear of his life, he ran into the desert and got away and escaped. There he married, became a shepherd, and tended his flocks, you know, and lived a quiet life. And God had a plan. God had a plan to deliver his people. So, and God wanted to call Moses to do that. So God got Moses' attention. He sent him a burning bush, or he had a burning bush. So if we would see a burning bush, I think we'd have our attention too. And I'd be like, well, what's that? And, it's a funny thing. Moses gave every excuse in the book not to go do this, not to go talk to the Israelites. Moses said he couldn't speak well. That didn't sit well with God. God said, "Who made man's mouth?" You know, that's a slap in the face. You know, and he just didn't feel like he was equipped and well and ready to do that. So, God, number one, God used Aaron, Moses' brother, to speak for him in Egypt. God also gave him the power of miracles. It's one of the first times I think you see miracles being used. He had a staff. He threw it on the ground, it turned to a snake, picked it up, turned back to a staff. He had the power of healing. He had put his hand in his robe, it turned to leprosy, he pulled it out, it was healed. There was one more. If Egypt did not listen, he could pour water on the ground, and it would turn to blood. To convince them So that's one of the first places you see that. God reveals, the first thing here God reveals is His name. His name is I Am Who I Am. Moses said, this is all well and good. I'm jumping ahead here. Moses said, this is all well and good. I will go do what you want me to and have Aaron go along and speak for me. But how am I going to convince these people that I am being sent from you, by you? You know, and what if they say, who are you and where you come from? And God said, you tell them, I am who I am. And that breaks down from the Hebrew to Yahweh, which means He brings into existence whatever exists. Or Jehovah, the Lord. We all know those terms. And that is very important, the I am here. The second thing God reveals in this lesson tonight is His power. In Exodus chapter 7 through 11, Moses goes to the Pharaoh and says, let my people go. I'm sure he said it. Let my people go. And Pharaoh was like, no. Why would I? God sends and shows His power through these plagues. Now, first the Nile turned to blood, and all the water turned to blood. Then He sent frogs, lice, gnats, depends on the version, flies, pestilence, on and on. The thing with this is, most of the magicians there could do some of this stuff. So it was like, Pharaoh was like, oh yeah, then no, because, you know, they were proven wrong. And so you want to turn that down. Alright. So, anyway, Moses is there pleading the cause day after day, and through all these plagues and suffering, didn't make a difference. Pharaoh's heart kept getting harder and harder and harder, and determined to keep the Israelites there. And so God finally revealed His plan. He dropped the big one. Moses went back finally for the last time and said, let my people go. And the Pharaoh said, no way. So I want to read, and if you want to read with me, we'll reveal what that is in your book, in the story. If you want to turn to page 50, about halfway through the page there, we'll start at the chapter where it says about the Lord. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die. Just as you say, Moses replied, I will never appear before you again. Now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the female slave who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the castle of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, you, and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, This month is to be the first is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked in your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be as a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood, to the basin, and put some of the blood on the top, on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frames and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyers to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was at the dungeons, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up. Leave my people, and you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also, bless me. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So God finally showed his true power. And Pharaoh left everybody go. Now, this ties into the other side of the Bible, and Nikki had put stuff in the bulletin as well, where Christ is all throughout the Bible, and here in Exodus, Christ is in the Bible as well. And where else is bloodshed to save lives? Jesus on the cross. That is where else. And he is the Lamb of God. And the story here today is to tie that together. And I want you to take, if nothing else from this, that God has a plan for all of you, and he wants to see you in heaven, and he wants to see you following his word. And he sent a sacrifice, a blood offering, to save you and give you that opportunity to find a way and communicate with him and be with him. And that is through Jesus Christ. So the shedding of blood is what ties Moses and Christ together, Exodus in the New Testament. And you will find as we read through this whole story, which is that is the basis for this whole book, the blood of Christ, and how it all ties together. So as you read through this, as we work through this, you will find that all throughout. And that's what I have to say tonight. I want to make an offering. Anybody that wants to talk to myself or Q-Ball here, if you want more information about salvation and Christ and living a different life. So, all right. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you for your Son that you sent to save us. Your Son that gave his life for our sins. That died in regardless of what we had done. That we may someday see you. Father, I ask that you lay on each of our hearts to witness and pray for those that we know that may be searching, and that your Spirit may fill us and fill those around us, and that we may be a shining light for you and help and guide and direct those that are searching. Father, I ask that you give us safety tonight as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.